जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी,
देव विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर के प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की भूमि वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की गंगमय यमुनामय की भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की हम वेद भक्त वृंद की श्री रूप सनातन भट्ट रघुनाथ श्री जीव गोपाल भट्टदास रघुनाथ छठ गोस्वामी प्रभुगण की वर्तमान आचार्य वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naranchaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Yato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. The reading from 10th Canto, Chapter 16, Text Number 36. Kasyanubhavosya na deva vidmahe Tavangrirenu sparshadhikarah Yadvanchaya Shrir Lalanacha Rattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritavrata Kasyanu Bhavosyana Deva Vidmahe Tavangrirenu Sparshadhikarah Yadvanchaya Shrir Lalanacha Rattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritavrata Kasyanu Bhavosyana Deva Vidmahe Tavangrirenu Sparshadhikarah. Yadvanchaya Shrir Lalanacha Rattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritavrata. See, the second line is Tavangri Renu Sparashadhikara. It is not Sparsha. Sparashadhikara. We will recite once again so we recite it properly. Kasyanu Bhavasya Na Deva Vidmahe Tavangri Renu Sparashadhikara. Yadvanchaya Shrir Lalanacha Rattapo Vihaya Kaman Suchiram Dhritavrata. ಐಂಗ್ರಿರೇಣು ಸ್ಪರ್ಶಾಧಿಕಾರ ಯದ್ವಾಂಚಲನಾಚರ ತಪೋ ವಿಹಾಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವೀಸ್ ಕಸ್ಯಾನುಭಾವೋಸ್ ನ ದೇವ ವಿದ್ಮಹೇ ತವಾಂಗ್ರಿರೇಣೋರ್ಸ್ಪರಶಾಧಿ ಕಸ್ಯ
ಆಫ್ ವಾಟ್
ಅನುಭಾವ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಅಸ್ಯ
ಆಫ್ ದ ಸರ್ಪಂಟ್ ಕಾಲಿಯ
ನ
ನಾಟ್
ದೇವ
ಮೈ ಲಾರ್ಡ್
ವಿದ್ ಮಹೇ
ವಿ ನೋ
ತವ
ಯುವರ್
ಅಂಗ್ರಿ
ಆಫ್ ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್
ರೇಣು
ಆಫ್ ದ ಡಸ್ಟ್
ಸ್ಪರ್ಶ
ಫಾರ್ ಟಚಿಂಗ್
ಅಧಿಕಾರ
ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್
ಯತ್
ಫಾರ್ ವಿಚ್
ವಾಂಚಯ
ವಿತ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್
ಶ್ರೀ
ದ ಗಾಡೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್
ಲಲನ
ದ ಟಾಪ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ವುಮನ್
ಆಚರತ್
ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್
ತಪ
ಆಸ್ಟರಿಟಿ
ವಿಹಾಯ
ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್
ಕಾಮನ್
ಆಲ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್
ಸುಚಿರಂ
ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಟೈಮ್
ಧೃತ
ಅಪ್ಹೆಲ್ಡ್
ವ್ರತ
ಹರ್ ವಾವ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಓ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ನೋ ಹೌ ದ ಸರ್ಪಂಟ್ ಕಾಲಿಯ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಪರ್ಚುನಿಟಿ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಟಚ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಡಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಡ್ ದ ಗಾಡೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ಟರಿಟೀಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆಂಚುರೀಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಡಿಸೈರ್ಸ್ and taking austere vows. There's no purport here, yeah.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakkada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಾಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪೃಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರತ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೊ in the previous class on Kaliya, Taman Leela, we discussed about how, briefly we discussed about how Kaliya came there to the lake touching Yamuna, and how he was poisoning the waters. And after having occupied the place, Kaliya and his associates, they were not letting anybody come close to the Yamuna River. Because it was all full of poisonous snake holes. Nobody could approach that spot. We also discussed about how when some cowherd boys who were playing along with their cows and calves, when they arrived there to drink waters of Yamuna, they fell to the ground dropping dead. And also the birds which are flying, you know, due to the vaporization of the boiling waters of Yamuna made by Kaliya. Kaliya vaporized those waters and the gases would go up and the birds would drop to the Yamuna. So we discussed those things, and then subsequently how Krishna came there and he jumped into those waters, splashing the waters, playing in the waters to agitate Kaliya and bring him out. So there we discussed the point about how Samasarathi came in the front to watch what's happening, who has entered into my domain. So we were talking about the territory mentality, territory consciousness. Kaliya is compared to a hardcore materialist. The nature of a materialist is he will never mind his own business. He will always poke his nose into others' affairs also and try to usurp others' property. But with respect to his own property, he will be extremely mindful and cautious not to let anyone touch it. That is actually Kaliya. You will see, as we discussed last time, Kaliya came to Yamuna and put a tent there, staying there along with his family, associates, and you know, due to the vicious poison, it was creating trouble for so many of the people in Yamuna, I mean near Yamuna, the Vrajavasis, the cows and calves and everybody. But as Krishna approached the Yamuna waters, Kaliya became very wild. And he wanted to, you know, tie him up with his coils and kill him. So we spent some time discussing about the proprietorship mentality that Kaliya represents in this world. I was hearing a lecture by my spiritual master. In one of the lectures called Subduing Kaliya, he says a very interesting point. He says the cowherd boys, when they drank the waters of Yamuna, immediately they dropped to the ground dead. So he says how in this world, just like in a, have you seen the sign of two crossbones and a skull? That is put for what? Danger, yeah. Sometimes in electricity related things, they put that danger, so many volts, don't come near. Similarly, in this world, the sense gratification appears very attractive, but it's considered poisonous. So all the objects of the world that give enjoyment, whether they be inanimate or animate, that the jiva hankers for and chases after, they are compared to those, because Krishna has given a warning in the Bhagavad Gita that the moment you try to touch them, enjoy them, exploit them, then you will perish, you will suffer. There will be unlimited suffering. So the drinking of the waters is compared to that. As soon as they drank the poisoned waters, although they were thirsty after playing games, they wanted to drink the waters. When they drank the water, they dropped to the ground dead. Now what is the death compared to? The death is compared to somebody who consumed poison and they are dead. Similarly, the sense enjoyment is like that. Although very pleasurable, one may chase after it, but once a person indulges in sense enjoyment, then one experiences suffering. Like Krishna says, Yadagre Amritam Iva Parinamo Vishopamam. Initially it is like Amritam and the result is Visham, he says. It's like poison. So imagine somebody made a suicide attempt by eating some poison or chemical, what will you do? What do people generally do? Yeah, they'll pick him up, put him in an ambulance and rush him to the hospital. And he is not going to be treated in a general ward where many guys are lying in different beds. He'll be taken to which ward? Emergency ward. Immediately. What is the first thing they will do? Try to get the poison out. Get it out, because as long as the poison remains, the person will die. So they have to take out the poison. And after that, they will also ingest some antidote into his belly, so that the poison cannot have any effect in his body. Same way, when we, in this world, any of us sitting here will tell you, imagine if somebody comes and gives a poison bottle and says, drink it. Are we going to drink it? You know, we will think that we are very intelligent. We'll throw it away. We won't drink. But we are drinking poison at every moment in this world. By grossly and subtly making attempts to enjoy sense gratification in this world. That's actually like little poison. Keeps going in. And as the poison goes in, gradually one's Krishna consciousness dies. One becomes more forgetful of Krishna. So these covered boys, they were all associates of Krishna. But when they drank the poison waters, they all fell to the ground, dropping dead. You see? So they could not see Krishna, they could not hear Krishna, they were practically senseless, practically. So we also, in the same manner, in this world, when we consume the poison of sense gratification, which is actually technically called avidya, we call it. And the result is that, you know, one feels Krishna consciousness is alien to me. One cannot recognize Krishna, one becomes forgetful completely, bewildered. But then, yes, like we were telling about the man who ate poison was rushed to the hospital. Similarly, serious devotee means one who understands that Krishna consciousness is emergency. It cannot wait. It's very important and very urgent. I have to take out the poison that has gone in. You see, the Bhagavad Gita talks a lot about the material desire. And that is like poison. Even Buddha said desire is the root cause of all evil. What is a desire? Material desire. Now, what is a material desire? Material desire is a desire that one maintains for gratifying one's own senses. Spiritual desire is a desire for serving Krishna. So spiritual desire leads to seva bhav. Material desire leads to bhogavritti. Bhogavritti means Kaliya Vritti, materialist Vritti. One wants to usurp others' property besides having one's own. And also when somebody tries to take back the property, you bite back, like Kaliya. So that mentality. So three things, enjoyership, proprietorship, controllership. That is Kaliya mentality. So the material desires should be detected in time and removed from our heart. They should not be developed and grown. But if we develop them, grow them, later on our contamination will increase more and more, just like the increasing cancer. Like if there is a cancer somewhere in the body, if some pain happens, you go to doctor and he says, at the early stage we have detected cancer. So what is the first thing we want to do? No matter how much money you have to spend, you have detected it, immediately remove it, operate it, even if some lakhs have to be spent, people do that. But if we don't remove it, then we contaminate ourselves more and more. So, how does the jiva get this poison into his system? It is by sangha, guna sangha. Tamo guna sangha, rajo guna sangha. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Karanam guna sangho asya. Sad asad yoni janmasu. Sad yoni means angel's body, devata's body. Asad yoni means dog's body, cat's body, aquatics body, birds body. One is damned to lower bodies, or one is one is given higher bodies. But whatever body we have, it's a contamination. Material body means contamination. So, karanam guna sangosya. By guna sangha, the jiva perceives the jiva perceives wrongly the guna sangha. It's like wearing. If I wear a brown color tint specs, everything will appear brown. If I wear red tint, everything will appear red, isn't it? So when I wear rajaguna or tamaguna, then the jivatma assumes that certain things is going to give him enjoyment. So the rajaguna leads to passionate hankering, while tamaguna leads to confusion, bewilderment, laziness and all those things. So when the material desires are picked up and they are grown and developed within our heart, gradually our mentality becomes like Kaliya. Kaliya mentality. Imagine, for example, like we had gone to a farm, they had some goats and some chicken moving around in that farm. So one of our devotees had arranged our camp, a brahmachari's camp in the farm. As soon as I saw the chicken and goats there, I asked this devotee, do they cook non-veg here? So he said, Prabhuji, I don't know, I'll find out, they said. Then they called up and found out. He said, yes, they do. I said, then we cannot cook here. Same day we left after that. Because how I found out they must be cooking non-veg, if some goats are around, chicken is around naturally. Why do people tame goats and chicken? Eventually they'll cut it and eat it. Is it not true? Similarly, you'll find as soon as a man is bringing a goat, a small goat, the goat, and he keeps on feeding it, then it grows bigger and bigger. When it becomes very plumpy and heavy, then he will cut it. Is it not? And then he will do the sinful act of eating it and incurring sin. Similarly, material desires also, initially they are very small. People bring small one, material desire. And they keep feeding it. Eat more, more grass. Eat this, and they become more and more and more plumpy. And then they commit the sinful act of enjoying that material desire subsequently. When it grows bigger and bigger, then, you know, whether Hira Chor or Kira Chor, whatever Chor, a person is eventually. So a person who even brings a goat, who cuts the goat, who cooks the goat, who eats the goat, who serves the goat, everybody is victimized by sin, we say. Similarly, the material desire, after we, it may be at different stages. It may be in a growing stage, it may be a stage. Sometimes we have a desire which we keep secretly without telling anyone, and that's a contamination. Eventually that may grow very big, and at one time the temptation may come and pull the leg of a person. And then one becomes vicious like Kaliya. This is actually poison. Material desire is poison. It's actually avidya that is poison. So, and the problem with such material desires is that we cannot simultaneously have a material desire growing in our system at the same time blissfully practicing Krishna consciousness. It's not possible. That is the reason the 10th offense against the holy name, it says, it's not wrong to have material desire, but one should not nurture it, one should not maintain it, one should not grow it. Rather, one should be trying to get rid of such a desire. Like one father of a devotee, a boy brought, introduced me, Prabhuji, my father has a big business in a poultry farm, you know. Yes. Then I said, really? Of course, I was very frank. I sat with him and I told him, how can you have a poultry farm? You're killing. He said, no, sir, we don't kill. We only grow them very plumpy and give it to somebody. And all he was selling. Then I told him, you have to give up the business. Of course, he gave it up. But he said, for giving up, it would take him 5 years. Because he had invested some 30 lakhs or something. But I told him, the moment you began contemplating on giving up this sinful business, your good fortune has arisen, I told him. That means 10th offense against the holy name is what? It's not wrong to have material desire, but we should cultivate a desire to give them up. That means you have stopped your poultry farm now. You are not, you know, cultivating any more chicken now. You are selling it away. And you are starting some other business. Similarly, one should give up Maya's business and one should take up Krishna's business. You see? At least one should be in that direction. Vishaya avishta chittanam Vishnu aveshana bhavet, it is said. There are two things, Vishaya avishta and Vishnu avesh, or Krishna avesh. So these two are like two poles apart. Like a blissful Krishna consciousness, he is completely free from hankering and lamentation for material objects. Because in this world, when lust is satisfied, it turns into greed. For example, somebody had a lust for getting a bicycle, he gets it, then it turns into greed. Now I want a bike, now I want a car, Now I want a plane. So lust turns into greed when lust is satisfied. And lust turns into frustration and anger when it is not satisfied. But both anger and greed lead to envy. Because when we become angry, more and more angry, we make unhealthy comparisons with others and we become envious. Similarly, when greed increases, we always make unhealthy comparisons, you know, with others. If another another person is glorified, another person is valued or respected, we always make a comparison. Why I am not glorified? Why I am not respected? Yeah. There is always more and more greed. So the greed leads to envy and anger also leads to envy, both of them. And when envy matures up, it is Kaliya mentality. That is envy. Envy in its mature stage. One becomes very vicious, hurting oneself and hurting others also. That kind of mentality. So, I spoke about the material desire because material desire is the root cause of all problems. And the material desires actually begin from avidya, ignorance. Ignorance of one's identity. So, serpents by nature are considered envious. Here Kaliya is a very huge serpent with a big stock of poison, having multiple hoods, trying to kill all the Vrijabasis, having come to Yamuna and staying there. And Krishna was determined to drive him away. Why? Such a Kaliya snake with such a polluted mentality cannot be allowed to live in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a pure place. It's a place of pure consciousness. So, somehow Kaliya had come into Vrindavan and he took shelter of Yamuna. So Krishna delivered him and he put his lotus feet on his head and made an imprint so that Garuda will never hurt him later. So, he became free from the fear of Garuda subsequently and he was sent out of Vrindavan. So that again the covered boys and calves, they can very happily drink water in Yamuna and play and have sports and everything there. So the spiritual life is great fun, great joy. But when this poison afflicts a devotee, that bliss will be evaporated. Because the material disease is venomous, vicious. It makes one cunning. And the devotee will lose simplicity. And devotee afflicted by the disease of envy, one will always be dissatisfied and hankering for more prestige, more fame, more name, more power, more influence over people, and more proprietorship. This kind of mentality is Kaliya mentality. And such people will be fuming all the time. They will never be able to lead a very happy and peaceful life. So, now Krishna, by his mere glance on the covered boys, he woke them up to life. You see, Lord's eyes emanates Amrit Varsha, which is called Karunya Kataksh. Karunya Kataksh means merciful glance. Krishna's eyes, that is why one should regularly visit the temple and put oneself at the lotus feet of Krishna by offering Dandavat. Dandavat means like a stick falling on the ground. Like that we should fall in front of Krishna, Krishna's deity. Take his lotus feet on our head and develop a desire to become purified by his glance. When his glance falls on us, when he looks at us mercifully, immediately our system will become cleansed of all the material desires. And pure desires will awaken in our heart. Because when Krishna sees some sincerity in the devotee, immediately he will take note of that desire and offer facilities, offer association, everything necessary to bring the devotee back to him. So when the covered boys fell, when the glance of Krishna fell on the covered boys, they all immediately rose to life. So the poison of material enjoyment kills us, and the glance of Krishna, which is spiritual, Amrit Varsha, it brings us back to life, which awakens our Krishna consciousness. That's the meaning of that. Covered boys getting up. Subsequently, Krishna subdued, we saw one beautiful verse where it was said, Smritva Charachara Gurum Purusham Puranam. Kaliya started Smritva, remembrance came, because Kaliya also became free from poison, is it not? Krishna removed all the poison and poisonous smoke and stuck of poison from his body completely by dancing on him. And then he got Smritva. What Smritva? Kaliya was thinking, I tried to bite Krishna. I tried to put him in my coils and break his body. What a foolish thing I did. Narayanam tamaranam manasa jagama. This small boy who looks like a small blue boy, he is not an ordinary person. He is Narayanam. He is a supreme personality of Godhead. Tamaranam, let me take his shelter. Manasa jagama. In his mind, he decided that I will not rebel anymore. Enough of all my rebellion with different hoods. You see, these different hoods represent different justifications and arguments our false ego gives in our life. So Kaliya is also compared to the ego. See, there is a true ego, that is false ego. So Kaliya with a heavy stock of poison is like false ego. But then the ego can never be destroyed. Some people think Mayavadi is an impersonalist. They say that the ego has to be destroyed. You can never destroy the ego. There is true ego. True ego is Jeev Krishna Das Evishwas Karleto Ardukkanai. He says, no, Jeev Krishna Das. That is true ego. And what is false ego? False ego is to think oneself to be Swami. Swami Bhav. Bhoga Bhav. That is false ego. So when Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, then all the poison came out. Then afterwards he became humble. And then he realized his true ego. See, our tongue can be considered to hoods of Kaliya. It's somewhat like Kaliya only. In that, Krishna's holy name is dancing, isn't it? Every day when we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So is it very sweet to chant holy name? Although, who is feeling it very sweet? You don't know who is feeling it, holy name is very sweet? Rupa Goswami. Krishna eti varanadvayi, he says. When I chant the word Krishna, it gives me so much sweetness. He says, I want millions of ears and millions of tongues to chant, he says. Isn't it? So, this is only a theory for us. And we have heard this verse many times. Tunde tandamani ratyam vidanate. Maybe we can memorize it and recite it in many lectures wherever we go. But we don't have any practical realization of this verse. Why? Because as long as there is a stock of avidya, poison in our heart, you know, this dancing of Krishna on our tongue will not be pleasing to us. You know, for the devatas who are watching in the sky, Krishna was dancing so beautifully, it appeared so light, like feather. Krishna appeared like a feather. Very light, he was dancing very beautifully. Everybody was clapping hands and singing and playing instruments and everything. But Kaliya did not feel it very nice. It was like thudding on his head. Boom, 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 boom. Different hoods would come and Krishna would put his feet subduing Kaliya. So this is like Krishna purifying our ego. If any of you have taken Ayurvedic medicines, first time when I went to my Ayurvedic doctor, he had given one powder. So it was so bitter. It was so bitter. So I took it, then I asked him, how long I have to take? He said, 1 week, he said. So of course, 1 week I took the powder with great difficulty. I thought it's over now. So after 1 week I asked him, so it's over now? He said, no, again for one more month I am giving you. So he gave for one more month. I've been, of course, taking for the last 2-3 years or so. The point is now, gradually the bitterness of the medicine is reducing now over a period of time. Because we need the bitter medicine of the holy name to purify our avidya, poison in our heart, to remove. So when the Ayurvedic medicines go inside, they actually, sometimes they give you this neem leaf powder or something. It's very bitter. Sometimes doctor says, you ask doctor, which juice can I drink? He says, Kerala juice. In all the world, you don't have any other nice juice. What about pineapple juice? What about, isn't it? orange juice, mausambi, or he says, no, Kerala juice is good for you. So, similarly, to remove this avidya poison, we need the holy name chanted by the tongue. So, not only the tongue is uttering the holy name, eventually our mind, our heart, everything will be absorbed in the holy name, and that stock of poison will be removed. What is the poison? Lust and greed and pride, anger, illusion, all these things which are stored in our heart, and we can detect them time to time. Right, time to time they come to surface and go. They may come to surface, show some drama and go back. Again they come. But when we chant the holy name, everything comes out. Eventually it will be completely cleansed. Like in a ink bottle, sometimes at the bottom there is blue ink. You put some water, the whole bottle becomes bluish. And you throw it out. Again you put some water, it becomes less bluish. And then gradually keep putting water and throwing out, what happens? The water remains transparent. It doesn't become blue anymore. In the same manner, in our subconscious mind, there is a lot of poison. So initially when we chant the holy name, sometimes these things come out. Like, you know, sometimes devotees wonder, I am probably becoming too extra sensitive in spiritual life. Like some of the boys come and ask me, Prabhuji, nowadays if I go and sit in the bus, one girl comes and sits next to me, I become allergic. I glue myself to the window. I become so allergic. Earlier, you know, in my college days, I had so many girlfriends, boyfriends who were mixing freely. And I was probably very, you know, cool in those days. But after becoming devotee, I becoming very allergic. I don't want any opposite sex to come and sit next to me. Similarly, when my friends call me, chalo yaar, we'll go to a hotel. No, I cannot go to any hotel. I can't eat outside. I ask them, where do you want me to go? If you want to go to ISKCON temple, I'll come. Otherwise, not. So I'm becoming too allergic, Prabhuji. I'm afraid whether is it a good sign. So I was telling them it's a good sign, undoubtedly. Why? Earlier, you see, in the lungi, if you put a black dot, can anybody see? In the lungi, you know lungi? In a lungi, you put one black dot. Can you see it? No. In a pure white dhoti, you put a black dot. Everybody can see it. Like you know, sometimes in a white board, you just put one black dot. That's so prominently seen. Is it not? Similarly, to the degree our heart is becoming purified, we will become very sensitive to even small, small deviations and distractions in spiritual life. And that allergy is a good sign, undoubtedly. So I was telling him, before you were mixing with girls freely, because you were like a buffalo, your consciousness. You know, you never were fine-tuned in your consciousness, like cats and dogs, pigs and animals. You know, you were just mixing freely, drinking, smoking, doing everything, and you thought you were all right. You were actually not all right. And you thought you were all right, because it's like lungi consciousness. Isn't it? You put any number of dots, nobody can see it. Once you start becoming pure, you become very strict, very serious, very alert. So, if we cannot see anartha in our heart, that means we have eaten poison, but we don't know that we have eaten poison. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Gavaino Manusha Janam Paya Radha Krishna Navajya Manushada Namapaya Radha Krishna Navajya Janiya Shuniya Vishakhaino Niya Vishuniya Vishakhaino Golokera Premadhana Hari Namya Sankirtana Premadhana Hari Namya Sankirtana Ratina Janmilo Kene Thay Ratina janilo kene ta Ratina is saying in the song, Hari Hari, Vifale Janamagavayano. I have wasted all my life, fruitlessly running here and there, trying to enjoy my life. And he says, Janiya Shunya Vishakayano. Jan Bujakar Me Vishkalia, he's saying. Foolishly I have drunken this poison of avidya, he says. And then he's saying, this Golokera Premadan, it has come from the spiritual world. It can completely purify my heart when I chant the holy names and remove the stock of poison stored in my heart, which makes me cunning, which makes me foolish, which makes a fool out of me. We are afflicted by different anarthas. We become angry, we become greedy, we become lusty, we become proud, we become vicious, we become cunning. So this stock of poison can be removed by the holy name. Let me chant this holy name and not be lazy to chant the holy name. Let me consider my situation as a person fit to be admitted in the emergency ward. That's the meaning. So in this way, in spiritual life, the pastimes of Krishna are very wonderful to relish and delight in, provided we are doing the homework of systematically removing the material desires. One should give them up. If one is not removing the material desires or in the process of removing them, then hearing Krishna's pastimes will be like a, you know, eyewash. It will be like a, like we say, show bottle, as we say. You know what is show bottle? Sometimes the doctor has a compounder who is sitting outside, and the doctor writes something, you know, nobody can understand his handwriting. He just writes like this and gives you a chit when you come out. And the compounder gives you, one of the bottles, some orange color bottle. Another time you go, he gives you a green color bottle. Another time he gives you some blue color bottle. So these are all different bottles arranged and kept in the table, you can see. And your mind assumes that every time I go, he gives a different medicine, but it's the same medicine only. Only color is different. Just for your mental satisfaction, he gives you different bottles every time you go. For every month, he gives you different. This is called show bottle. So, in spiritual life, we may do all the external activities, appearing like a devotee. But if the stock of poison remains inside, who will know it? We only will know it. Because when you get viral fever, sometimes externally it's difficult to know whether a person is suffering from viral fever or not. Sometimes you clean shave and wear a new dress, you look like very healthy. But inside there may be viral fever. How do you know? Your person will be knocked down. He can't stay for a long time. Similarly, material diseases are like a disease, poison. They gradually occupy the heart more and more and more. They spread like a blotting paper. You keep a pen, ink pen and a blotting paper, it expands. Material diseases will expand and they will become monstrous and uncontrollable if we don't remove them in time. So that is why in this particular pastime we see Krishna on a very practical level shows, not in a very subtle way, in a very gross practical way, Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kali and removing the poison. Our false ego also has to be removed of its wrong identity. Wrong identity means the wrong perception. The possessive mentality has come in this world because of false ego only. We are possessing so many things and identifying with them. Our conscience is submerged in so many things of the world because of this only. So Krishna, by this pastime, he is also teaching us how to purify our system, cleanse our system by bringing this beautiful holy name which is not different from Krishna. So, smritva charachara gurum purusham puranam narayanam tamaranam manasa jagama. In this way, Kaliya came to his senses and then he remembered Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And text number 31.
Krishnasya garbha jagatoti bharavasannam Parshnir prahara parirugna fanata patram drishtva himadhyam upasedura mushya patnya arta shlata vasana bhushana kesha bandaha.
He's saying here, Krishnasya garba jagataha atibhara vasannam. He's saying, when Krishna danced on Kaliya's hoods, his Kaliya felt it like a atibhara. Atibhara means very heavy. And Shukadeva Goswami gives the reason why he felt very heavy. Because inside Krishna's belly, the whole universe is there. Brahmanda, that is why. Can you imagine somebody, imagine for example, I climb on somebody, you know, carrying 200 pounds or 300 pounds weight on me. And then actually that person feels weight also. Whole weight comes on him. Similarly, Lord Krishna, who has swallowed the whole universe within his abdomen, when he danced on the hoods of Kaliya, Kaliya felt the whole Brahmanda is coming on my head. Like that he felt, he says. Parshni, Prahar. Prahar means what? Striking. Pat. Like you see, like hammer. You take the hammer and a thot. And the nail goes inside, isn't it? When you hit like that. That is Prahar. So he says, Parshni, Prahar. Krishna's heels were doing Prahar on Kaliya's head. Boom, boom, boom. Like wherever. Actually, we will ring the devotee. There is one special devotee called Smithin Prabhu in Nagpur. So we have, once we will call him here. He does one Kaliya dance, he does. So he dances like Krishna dancing on Kaliya. He's a Bharatanatyam, he does. So we had told him to do for our students once he did. So in that, he shows how Krishna moves around and hits in a one-one hood which is coming up. Boom, 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 boom. Krishna runs around very beautifully. So we'll keep in some special occasion, we'll show the Kaliya dance after we complete Kaliya section. So it was like Prahar for him. He says, Parirugna means some of his skulls started getting cracked. Whose skulls? Kaliya's. Because of Krishna pounding on him. Pana Atapatram. They were like umbrellas and he jumped over them one after another. Drishtva Ahim, he says. Drishtva means I am seeing the serpent. Adhyam Upasedu Amushya. Patnya Artaha. Artaha means Kaliya's wives felt very sad seeing this. That is the reason. They will tell why. Shlatat Vasana, Bhushana, Kesha Bandaha. Their hair was disarrayed. And all the Kaliya's wives arrived there at that point of time. Seeing that their husband's skulls are cracked in many places. Poison is coming out, smoke is coming out, he is purified and now he has become subdued. So they simultaneously felt happiness and sadness. Why? One happiness they felt was that our husband has become a devotee. That made them very happy. He has become a Vaishnava now. And they felt sad that it seems that he will not survive. He is going to die because of Krishna's pounding on him. So acharyas have given a commentary. Kaliya's wife saw the symptoms of sanchari bhav, like humility, remorse, repentance in Kaliya, and all these things. So they were very happy to see that. Yeah. And now they were thinking, now we should endeavor to protect him now. Now they were feeling affection for their repentant husband, he says. And they felt severe distress. Because of his miserable position. Initially, Kaliya's wives were thinking, this fellow, he would never surrender to Krishna. Let him become killed by Krishna and attain liberation. Just like any demon killed by Krishna will attain liberation, is it not? At least let him be killed by Krishna. They were very happy. Given our Diti, when she came to know that Hiranyaksha Hiranyakashipu will be killed by the Lord, Supreme Lord, she was very happy. Because that's the next best you can get. The best is not that. The best is that we become obedient to Krishna and we become purified and become his wonderful devotee and attain Vaikuntha. That is the first best. If one cannot get that, what is next best? At least be killed by the Lord and become purified of all sins. Otherwise, you will go end up in hell. Instead of ending up in hell, at least be killed by the Lord. So they were thinking, if Lord is going to kill him, let him be killed. But then they suddenly saw Kaliya had become remorseful and repentant. And when they saw his face showing signs of humility, immediately they developed a desire to protect him. Tastam suvignamanasota puraskritarbhaha कायं निधाय भुविभूतपतिं प्रणेमुः साध्व्यकृताञ्जलिपुटाः शमलस्य भर्तुर् मोक्षेप्सवः शरणदं शरणं प्रपन्नाः दे डिड् प्रणेमुः प्रणेमु मीन्स् दे आल् बौ डौन् हु द वैव्स् आफ् कालिया and puraskritarbaha arba means children they all brought their own children and kept the child in front of krishna and then they also offered obeisances panchanga pranam they were doing like this and there is a meaning behind it why they are doing like this they wanted to tell krishna that if you kill our husband then who will take care of these children and not only that we are also abala we are also abala stri and we are in the snake community if one snake dies then naturally we become exploited by the other male snakes who are as vicious as Kaliya. So now since our husband has become purified now, please kindly allow him to continue to live. And also there's another reason why they were doing pranam. Because whenever you have any problem with anybody in this world, you do pranam or you do pranam with your ego also you can do. What is pranam with the ego means become submissive. See, submissiveness is internal, obeisance is external. We can do external obeisances also. More important than external obeisances is internal obeisances. What is internal obeisances? Internal submission. That's more important. Because sometimes you see people become very humble externally. Immediately they fall on the ground doing namaskar and everything. And after going back, they will do the same old thing. What they have been doing. A person convinced against his will, he is of the same opinion still. So that obeisance is useless. Show bottle obeisances. So real obeisances is what? Internal submission. But you will see in this world, even a person who is very angry, he will immediately, his anger will be finished. If a person is a great soul, his anger will be finished if you submit immediately. Like I was telling one of our devotees, like bus party was going through one particular area and they were distributing books. They distributed books in a particular area so that local authority became very upset. Angry, how can you come and distribute books in our area and everything? So this devotee was arguing with that local authority. He said, we belong to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which is Audariya movement. Prabhu, you should be more merciful. We can distribute books anywhere we want. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy flows like Ganga everywhere. So that local authority became very angry. He said, you are preaching philosophy to me. You think I don't know the philosophy? And then so there was an argument between the two. When the phone call came to me, the first thing I told that local devotee, I said, this fellow has committed a mistake. Please forgive him. You should always... I told him that he will not do anything without your knowledge. He will do it only with your sanction, permission. And I have explained to him that you are the local authority. Immediately, next moment, that person became completely subdued. The nature of humility is that, you know the pastime of Surasa, when Hanuman was becoming big, she was opening her mouth very big also, isn't it? When he became more big, she became even more big. And what did Hanuman do? Immediately became small. And then he entered the mouth and came out. And then he could proceed with his mission very easily. So in the mission of Prabhupada, if we want to accomplish great things, we have to become humble. Humility is not an external drama. The humility is internal submission. If a devotee's eyes are fixed in the mission of Prabhupada, then they can exhibit genuine submission. Like for example, Hanuman was telling Surasa while going, when she was opening her mouth, he said, hey, see here, I have a very important mission to be accomplished. I have to find out Sita. After I get the information about Sita in Lanka, I will go back, give the information to Ram, then I will come back to you and you can eat me up. Till I fulfill the mission of Ram, please don't come in my way. Like that Hanuman said. But Surasa said, how will you go to Lanka before being eaten by me? You cannot go only, she said. Right now I have to eat you up. And then only Hanuman made himself very big. Then she opened her mouth big. And then he became big. And then he became very small, entered inside and came out. You understand, no? But there we clearly understand Hanuman's eyes were fixed on the mission of Lord Ram. That is how he could be humble. Actually, we will be willing to become submissive if our behavior is causing pain to our spiritual master or Prabhupada or others. We will non-cooperate with other devotees. When will we non-cooperate? When we don't care for the spiritual master. When we don't care for Prabhupada. Then our ego is very important. Proving our own false ego to others is so important that we don't care for the spiritual master also. We don't care for Prabhupada also. People have big, big egos, like the Kaliya ego, we were saying. But when will we give up that false ego? When we want to please the spiritual master. Because, you know, one understands, my ego is not that important. Okay, I have my ego, false ego. But, you know, I may have to bow down my false ego if I have to please my spiritual master. Then only a person can cooperate in this world, you see. So, here also, the Kaliya's wives, they all are Kayam Nidhaya Bhuvi Bhutapatim Pranemahu. They all bowed down in front of Krishna. And Suvigna Manasa, they were very agitated in their mind, they were worried. Is our husband going to live or die? Sadhya Kritanjali Putaha Shamalasya Bharthur. Kritanjali means with folded palms. Yeah. And then Shamalasya Bharthur, he was not free from Mala, he was Shamala. Bharthur is the Kaliya. Moksheb Savaha Sharanadam Sharanam Prapanna. He's saying. So they also wanted Kaliya to take shelter, and then Krishna should give him shelter. That was the desire. Krishna should not kill him. Now what Nagapatni speak is a very amazing section. Nagapatnya uchuhu. Nyayo hidanda kritakil bishesmin tava avatara kalanigrahaya ripo sutanam apitulya drishtir datse damam palameva anushamsan. You see, they are saying Nyayohi Dandaha. From here begins the glorification of Nagapadnis. The verses 33 to 38, these five verses, they are telling Krishna that what you are doing with our husband Kaliya is very fitting to him. It's your mercy. Your punishment is your mercy. That's what they are speaking. And then 39 to 48, there are 55 words with which they are glorifying Krishna. 55 different names with which they are glorifying Krishna. And every time after glorifying Krishna, they are saying, Namaha, Namaha, we are bowing down to you. That Supreme Lord, now we are bowing down to you, like that. And then the last five shlokas, they are seeking boons for saving their husband. So this is a section, Sridhara Swami, in his commentary, tells in the Nagapatnya section, he has divided it into three parts. In the first six verses, they are talking to Krishna about the causeless mercy. This is the most important section. The first six verses, what we are going to discuss now. And then the second part, it's all great names of Krishna. Krishna's greatness. Because people should not think, you know, it's some small boy playing with some water snake. So some people think like that in India. They don't know. Then they are talking about who is Krishna, what is his greatness. And then they are asking boons to protect their husband. So here they are saying, Nyayohi Dandaha means what? You know, the punishment that you have given to this offender Kaliya is very befitting. We don't deny, we don't say that you have done any blunder or any mistake by dancing on the head of her husband. Krita Kilbisheshmin, Kilbish means what? One who has, Krita means one who has committed or done. Kilbisha means sinful activities of poisoning the Yamuna, killing the cows and calves, killing the cowherd boys with his poison, killing the flying birds, and occupying another place and sitting very comfortably there and not leaving. And adding to all these things, biting Krishna on his chest with his teeth. Isn't it? All these things are sinful. And also trying to put Krishna in his coils and crush him. These are all sinful activities he has done. Kritakilbi Sheshmin. But Tavavataraha Kalanigrahaya. And you take avatar in this world, Krishna, what for? Kala Nigrahaya. This is your, like we say, Paritranaya Sadhuna, Vinashaya Chidushkritam. That Vinashaya Chidushkritam is Kala Nigrahaya. Ripo Sutana Apitulya Drishtihi. Ripa means enemy. Sutta means one's own son. Ripo Sutanam Api Tulya Drishti means you are equal to all. Like Krishna killed Bhaumasura, do you know that? No? Bhaumasura is who? Is Krishna's son. But Krishna killed him because he was Asura. But Krishna protected Prahlad, who was not his son. You will find the example is given. Although Hiranyakashipu, one of the acharyas has given this commentary. Although Hiranyakashipu was your enemy, he protected his son Prahlad. Yet you killed Narakasur or Bhaumasur, even though he was your own son. It's a beautiful analogy, example. Ripo Sutanam Api Tulya Drishtihi, he is saying. You are equal to all. You don't do Beda Bhav. If somebody is Asura, then you kill him, even though he may be your son also. On the other hand, like you know, Gadot Gaja, he had to be killed also. Gadot Gaja, because he was Asura. Although he was on Pandava's side, eventually he was killed. Because he was born through Hidimbi, I think, right? Hidimbi, yeah. Recently, somebody was asking me a question about what is the difference between Vritrasur and Prahlad. Both are born in a demoniac family, you know. We glorify Prahlad so much. Of course, we glorify Vritrasur also. But if you carefully observe Vritrasur's section, you will find Vritrasur was born from the fire created by Tvashta. Indra Shatroho, like that, he offered oblations. And then he was created. And when Vritrasur came out, because his father had a vengeance towards whom? Indra. With that vengeance, he did the yajna. So Vritrasura also carried that vengeance with him when he was born, a tinge of vengeance. And when he is fighting with Indra, he will say, you will see that section. Hey Indra, who killed my innocent brother Vishwarupa? I will not spare your life. Like that he says. So you find in Vritrasur a demoniac body with a tinge of revengeful attitude towards Indra for killing his brother. So this is bodily consciousness. As we say, like Prabhupada says that our conditionings don't go away very easily. Just the tinge of that conditioning. But that is another side of Vritrasura's personality, which is 99% of his personality. What is that? Ajata paksha iva mataram kagha stanyam jatavat satarakshudartha priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna manoravindaksha didrikshatetvam. In that he is praying, my dear Supreme Lord, please take me back to your spiritual abode. I don't want to live in this world full of materialistic conditionings. I simply want to be your pure devotee, like a calf hankering for the mother cow, or like a bird hankering for the mother bird, or like a beloved hankering for the association of the lover. Like that, let me love you and serve you. And he says, Nanaka Prishtam, Nachaparam Ishtam, Swarva Bhumam. And I don't want siddhis, I don't want Brahma's post, I don't want anything in this world. And then take me to, I don't want even Apunar Bhava. Ultimately, he says, I simply want to become your servant of your servants. Dasanu Daso, he says that word. Dasanu Daso, he says, I want to become servant of your servants. So this is his pure part, pure spiritual part. So on the other hand, you find Prahlad. Prahlad was completely pure even at the time of birth, because he was purified before birth only by Narada Muni's preaching when he was in the womb of his mother. Not even a tinge of material contamination in him. Although he himself says, Kamanam Hridi Asamroham Bhavatastu Vrinevaram. That is only out of etiquette he says that. He didn't have any tinge of contamination in his heart at all. So that's why they are saying, Datse Damam Falameva Anushamsan. What you gave our husband is not punishment, actually, my dear Krishna, but it is a reward for this Kaliya. Like he says, I heard in Radha Govind Maharaj, one of Radha Govind Maharaj says, Fal dene ke liye ab dand dete hain. Like that he is saying. So you give, just like a doctor gives you Karela juice to help you become healthy, isn't it? Similarly, you give danda, your danda is actually ashirvad in disguise. Danda is ashirvad in disguise, like we say, blessing in disguise, like that. That they will say in the next verse. You see here? Anugrahoyam bhavatah kritohino dando satamte kalukal mashapah yad danda shukatvam amushyadehinah krodhopite anugrahayeva sammatah. Anugrahoyam bhavatah kritohina. Your activities, Krishna, what you did by subduing Kaliya, it is simply your anugraha. The punishment you give to the wicked relieves them of all their sins. Huh? Like it is said in Bhagavatam elsewhere, when Arjuna was sending the arrows, when the arrows would come and touch the demon's chest and pierce it, at that time the arrow will suck all their sinful reactions. Huh? Immediately. Parthastra Puta Padamapurasya, like that Bhagavatam says. Huh? Puta means they become purified by the touch of arrows sent by Krishna or his pure devotees. Just like if you have a tava which is very hot, you take some water and sprinkle it. Immediately, either it absorbs, isn't it? Like that the sinful reactions are absorbed by the arrow. Huh? So, when Rama Bhan is sent in Vali's chest, it goes to Vali and it absorbs all the sinful reaction, makes him pure and awards him liberation. You see? Like that. That's why they are saying, anugrahoyam bhavataha kritohino dando asatam te khalu kalmasha apaha. They are saying that this fellow has attained the body of a serpent because of his kalmash only. Because of his previous contamination, now he has got the body of a serpent and creating so much trouble for everyone else. But by your danda, you have purified him. Yad danda shukatvam. Danda shukatvam means the condition of appearing as a serpent, they are saying. Krodopite anugraha eva samataha. Your anger towards him is obviously understood to be your mercy. That's what they are saying. Krodo api. The word api means what? Generally, in this world, if you become angry on someone, you cannot do good to them. Generally speaking, in this world. Imagine, sometimes you read in the newspaper, somebody became very angry, so much so. Like a true story from Bombay. One man was living in the fourth floor. When he came in the afternoon, he was eating lunch. He asked his wife, why there is no, you know, salt in the food? He was shouting at her. And she said, salt got over. She said, he became so angry, picked her up and threw her from the window. She came coming to the ground. When people become angry, they lose control. How people act. Whatever comes in their hand, they will throw it. People beat. Yeah. Somebody may beat, he may beat wife with a stick and wife may throw a belna from the kitchen. People lose control of their anger. So, the anger makes one foolish. Intelligence says goodbye and goes away when one becomes angry. It's very rare to find somebody doing any good when they become angry. Like you see when India-Pakistan match, when India wins or loses, people break the TVs when they become angry. Is it not? You can see that. So anger is in tamoguna and it leads to destruction. That is why those people like horror movies also, where they break aeroplane or they break cars. They like it very much because they are in tamoguna. Tamoguna people like it very much. Yeah. Anger begins with rajoguna and ends in tamoguna. Anger. Like he says, kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhava. Udbhava means it starts. The anger starts with rajoguna and ends in tamaguna. That means one uses rajas and ending in tamas means destruction. In this world, all you can find is that the anger does great harm. It does great evil in this world. But here they are saying krodhopi. The word api means even though you seem to be showing anger on our husband, te anugraha eva, they are saying. Sammataha, it is certainly accepted as your anugraha only. It is your mercy, kripa, they are saying. Because the word anugraha is very important. Anugraha means, is only Radha Govind Maharaj, what he says here, he says, aapne hamare pati ko apna das banakar anugraha kiya. Anugraha means, you know, apna mankar krodh dikana. What is the meaning of apna mankar? Like sometimes a mother is angry with a child. She may catch the child and give a slap out of love for the child. She wants to. You remember in one class, probably here and I was telling, how once a small monkey was sitting next to a mother monkey. He wanted to eat some chapati or something on the ground. But there was a bulldog standing there. Like that was making sound. So the mother monkey told her, see, chapati is good, but you cannot go now. Because there is a dog standing. That fellow will tear your body into pieces. Don't go down, she said. But again and again, the child monkey was too eager. Like that he was showing like this, you know. He was saying, mother monkey said, like that she was selling. And after some time, mother monkey was a little inattentive. And the child monkey started jumping to the branches below. And the mother monkey would catch his tail and pull him back. And make him sit next to him. He was doing 2-3 times. But fourth time, what happened? The monkey went almost down, close to the ground. You know, he was about to take the chapati and the dog was coming near. And the mother caught hold of the monkey and went down and caught hold of him and brought him up. And gave him such a powerful slap. He gave such a slap. The small monkey would have never forgotten in his life. The small monkey went to sleep after that. So, this is what apna mankar lafa dena. Isn't it? This is anukraha. Because the mother wanted to save the child. Is it not true? Here also they are saying that you are dancing on the head of Kaliya. And you have done a great good. So, in his lecture, he's telling an example. Once a father took a stick and bit his son so severely, for 10 years that fellow ran away. He never came. That way he spoiled his whole career. This boy didn't study. Out of fear, he ran away from home. And he didn't study, he didn't do anything. So he's saying, this kind of anger can be seen in this world. The anger that ultimately doesn't lead to any good in this world. Whereas the Lord's anger purifies and benefits the demons. That is the point. It purifies the demons and benefits the demons. Yeah. That's why they are calling it as anugrahoyam. Text number 35. Tapasutaptam kimanena purvam nirastamanena chamanadena dharmotava sarvajananukampaya yato bhavam stushyati sarva jivaha. Amazing verse. They are asking, tapah sutaptam kimanena purvam. Our husband, Kaliya, kimanena purvam. Has he done some greatly pious activity in the past? Purva means in the purva janam. Has he done? Nirastamanena chamanadena. Here, for performing good tapasya, we need 2 qualifications, he says. One is amani and manadena. Like in that song also we sing, you know. Gurudev Krupavin Sakale Sammana Kurite Shakati. So in that, if you see, Sakale Sammane Kurite Shakati Deho Nata Yata Yata. If you give respect to everybody around you in this world, both karmis and devotees, then your chanting will be very peaceful, he says. Tabe to gaivo harinama sukhe aparadha vihata. If you respect every living being, small, big, great, insignificant, materialistic, devotional, devotees, whoever they be, simply develop the habit of respecting every living entity without criticizing them, without picking faults in them, without ridiculing them, and without trying to create trouble for them. If we can learn to respect every living entity, the result of that is what? Tabeto gaibo harinama sukhe. Peacefully we can chant the holy name. Same thing, here also amanina manadena they are saying. Did our husband do amanina manadena in the purva janam because of which he could perform first class tapasya? He's asking. Because in this world every living entity wants some respect, some fame, some comfort. And if a devotee learns to give that kind of respect and comfort to others, then you will never have trouble in life. If you don't make enmity with other living entities. Similarly, manadena means no malice towards others, respecting them with our body, mind and words. Did our husband do that because of which he could do tapasya nicely? Dharmo athava sarva jananu kampaya, they are asking. Kampa means what? Kampana. To shiver by seeing the suffering of others. That is called kampa. To shiver. That means one cannot tolerate the suffering of other living beings. That is kampa. And anukampa means not just shivering. After shivering, doing some good work in order to alleviate that suffering. That is anukampa. Did he show such anukampa? Dharmo atava? They are asking. Did he perform the religious duties of doing paropakar for other living entities? They are asking. Yato bhavamstushyati sarva jivaha. My dear Lord, you are actually the master of all the jivas in this world. And did Kaliya serve as other living being so nicely that bhavamstushyati, you became satisfied with him? They are asking. See, why they are asking this question in this particular verse? Because how did Kaliya achieve this position of having Krishna's lotus feet on his head? This question came to them in their mind. That's why they are asking. Did he do some tapasya in the Purva Janam? How did he get this punya by which you are dancing on his head? So, and that is one reason. Another reason, yato bhavam sushiti sarva jivaha. So, sarva jivaha means to see Lord Krishna in the heart of all the living entities. And Lord Krishna being the maintainer of all living entities, so they are indirectly asking Krishna, if you are the maintainer, then why don't you maintain Kali also? Why are you pounding on his head and almost about to kill him? They're asking. Like this. In this way, and then comes the today's verse, which is written on the board. Kasyanu bhavosyana deva vidmahe. Tavangrirenu sparshadhikaraha. Yadvanchaya shrir lalana charattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrata. Yeah. So here they are saying, kasya anubhavaha. Bhava means activity. Anubhava means the result of the activity. Kasya anubhavaha. Asya. Asya means they are showing hand to Kaliya. See this Kaliya. They are showing. Na deva vidmahe. You know, my dear Lord, how this Kaliya attained this great opportunity of having your lotus feet on his head. Because in this world, if somebody surrenders to Krishna, they become free from all material contamination, even by surrendering. And for somebody to not only just surrender, but to become to attain a position where one can get one dust particle of Krishna on his head. That is even more rare. Like that, giving the example of Lakshmi. Yadu vanchaya shrir lalana charattapo. Lalana, Shri Lalana is the greatest woman, Lakshmi. Acharattapo. She is performing tapasya where? In Bilvavan. You go to Vrindavan. See, this is one beauty of the Shastra. One truth is confirmed in many places, multiple places. Like if you go to Vrindavan, you find Lakshmi is sitting like this with folded palms in Bahulavan. No, Bilvavan. Bilvavan, if you go. And this side of the Yamuna you find. On the other side, you find Vrindavan. This side is Vrindavan, this side, she's sitting like this. Generally, Lakshmi will be like this, you have seen? And from this hand, the coins will be coming out, gold coins, flowing. Whereas here, she's sitting like this. So every mudra has a meaning. If she's showing mudra like this, here are the coins, don't worry. That's the meaning. Whereas when she's doing like this, she's praying. Praying to whom? And for what? We may have a question. So she's praying to the Vajabhasis and to Krishna, saying that I consider myself a Mahishi or a queen of Vaikuntha. But I also want to get opportunity to enter into rasa dance like the gopis are dancing. In rasa dance with Krishna. And then Krishna told her, you can, but for this you have to take the gobar and make gobar cakes, gobar dung cakes. And you have to milk the cows. And you have to do this kind of very simple activities that the covered girls of Vrindavan do. And she could not do those things. She could not assume the attitude of an average covered girl in Vrindavan. She had the Mahishi Bhav, means the queenly attitude. Because she could not give up the see, this is not very difficult to understand. You see, sometimes a boy is an engineer and he joins the ashram. His head is shaved, he's wearing dhoti kurta, still the engineer bhav doesn't go away. Seriously. Huh? Like in those days when I had newly joined in 1994 in Chapati temple, we used to have kurta with a collar also. Yeah? We used to have almost 2 years we were wearing like that, collar wala kurta. Later on, some of us brahmacharis came together and we had a meeting. We said we'll remove the collar so that we can forget that we are engineers. Huh? So after the collar went little bit, we developed our bhav as a ordinary sadhu or brahmachari. Why I'm telling, our mentality of being materially successful, that doesn't go away very easily. Huh? And it is all the more reinforced when people glorify us. Huh? People may say, he's a gold medalist, he's a topper, and he's an engineer, and he did this, he did that. And every time you hear it, it gets reinforced in our consciousness. Actually, we should understand, gone are those days when all those material coverings are finished. Now we are in a different situation where we are trying to become servant of every living entity. So that aham bhav doesn't go away very easily. Shaving the hair is far more easy than shaving the material desires and shaving the ahankar. So shaving anybody can do. You go to a salon, they will do it for you very easily. Isn't it? So, similarly for Lakshmi also, she has been used to living in Vaikuntha, served by so many assistants, and she is serving Lord Vishnu in that capacity as a queen. For her to give up that queenship, which is called Mahishi Bhav, is very difficult, and become like the simple covered ladies of Vrindavan. So, she is sitting in Vilvavan and folding her palms and begging Vijabhasis to come and give their grace to her. And Vijabhasis come in December month, which is called Margashish month. Very dear to Krishna. So they come and give her khichdi. And our Lakshmi is never used to eating khichdi. She only eats fine basmati rice mixed with, you know, transparent yellow ghee. That's what is very fine food in the Vaikuntha. Not just rice, pulao, kadi and items like that. But here she is eating what? Simple khichdi given by Vijabhasi. And she is eating that khichdi with the desire to awaken the bhav of an average Vijabhasi. So she can enter into the dance. That's why they are saying, even Lakshmi is desiring to get the dust particles from your lotus feet and she is not able to get. And how this fellow... See, vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavvataha. For a long time, even after having given up all types of desires, see, giving up all desires means giving up desire for eating, giving up desire for sleeping, giving up desire for any bhoga or recreation or sense gratification. And reducing eating and sleeping and intensely performing tapasya to attain Krishna's shelter. She has been doing yad vanchaya, means she desired. And she is not able to get your angry renu. But here we find this Kaliya, what did he do? That you are dancing on his head. You have given such a great costless mercy on him. Yeah. Na naka prishtham na cha sarva bhaumam na parameshtyam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhir apunar bhavam va vanchanti yat pada rajah prapanna. Similar verse comes in three places in Bhagavatam. There is one in Vritrasura also, in another place also. Now Krishna may ask a question to the Nagapatnis. What great result will a person get by getting my feet, dust off my feet? Krishna might have asked, what is so great about it? Okay, somebody got the dust off my feet. What is so great about it? So in answer they are saying, no Krishna, you cannot say this. Because the result that one attains by getting dust particles from your feet is much, much greater than anything else, they are saying. Because those who surrender to you, they give up the hankering to reside even in Swarga, where there is fine food and long duration of life, and mystic siddhis, and no tiredness, and people have strong senses. See, a devotee loses his hankering to go to Swarga, simply by becoming surrendered to you. What then to speak of those who have attained the dust of your lotus feet, and what to speak of Kaliya, whom you embraced and danced on his heads, is good for... Embraced means Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, that's like embracing Kaliya. And then climbing on his head and, you know, and giving so much of his dust. So by doing this, surely you would have eradicated all the material desires in the heart of Kaliya. This is why getting the dust of a pure devotee or getting dust of Krishna is great. Because it's a sort of miraculous thing. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that human reasoning cannot explain how, when one advances in devotional life, one's material desires are destroyed. Our His Holiness Navagindra Maharaj was telling, Jo log gomas kate the, o log abhi kanta lasan bhi kate nahi. He was telling, Jo log sharab pite the, cigarette pite the, abhi o log chai bhi pite nahi. Aur jo log sri gaman, purush gaman karte the, abhi wo sanyas lekar, danda lekar, sare duniya mein ghum kar prachar kar rahe hain. He was telling two extremes. And how did that transformation come? By dust of Krishna's lotus feet. And that Prabhupada provided them. Like that. So now it's 10 o'clock. We will not be able to complete. Only this section I'll finish. One last verse. The 38th verse.
Tadesha natha padurapa manyais tamo jani krodha vashopya hishah samsara chakre brahmatah sharirino yadi chatasyat vibhavah samakshah.
They are saying, Kaliya was janma se bura. Right from birth only he was a snake. Not that his swabhav became like this after some association. Because of his purva janam, sinful activities, he already got a body which is tamo janihi, krodha vasho. He was also in krodha vash. Krodha vash means he would hurt and harm other living entities. Still he attained your lotus feet, which Lakshmi and others have, they find difficulty attaining. Like that they are saying. So this first section of the prayers are over. Then the second session is about the namaha namaha, offering obeisances to Krishna. And the last section is very interesting. Maybe in another class in future I will complete that part. Where the Nagapatni's prayer is very, very wonderful there. They are asking how Kaliya should be spared, his life should be spared. Please don't kill him. Please spare his life. They give many wonderful reasons they will give. See, one question has come based on the class. Prabhu, you said that having material desires is not wrong, but we should sincerely want to get rid of it. By Krishna's mercy, even if our desires transform, how likely is that we will get material desires again into our system? What makes the material desires enter again? Actually, material desires keep entering into our system due to wrong perceptions. And wrong perceptions come by wrong association. In wrong association, karanam guna sangosya. Like Ajamila associated with the wrong sight. Dhyayito vishayan pumsaha. That's why you've seen, or Gandhi had in his altar three monkeys. Baramat dekho, baramat suno, baramat bolo. Isn't it? So he had that. Restraining the senses, Krishna talks a lot in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Second, third chapter. So, one should put one's shutters down. These are the shutters when one gets to see the wrong sights. So that's called Dhamma. Then even if you do Dhamma, you close your eyes, still inside the mind there are old material desires which are captured and stored. Like our mind has the five senses, Shabda, Sparsha, Rasa, Rupa, Gandha. They capture the material objects and store inside. Put it inside. Put inside. And then once it is stored, even if you close eyes, later on the mind brings them to surface and ruminates on them, like a cow ruminating. That then to control that is called Shama. So both Shama and Dhamma have to be done, if one wants to rise above. And one of the easiest ways to do is to keep oneself preoccupied and engaged in Krishna conscious activities. Then one can rise above it. That's the reason I gave you the example of the ring bottle. It's a gradual thing, one cannot do it overnight. But the higher taste has to awaken more and more. When the higher taste awakens, then nobody needs to force a person to give up the lower activities. One will automatically, like how many of you are playing with balloon now? How many of you are playing with a wooden horse now? You have become busy and preoccupied with so many other higher activities now. Similarly, the lower nature along with its activity evaporates when one is developing higher trees. Param drishtva vartate. So I could not complete this chapter. Another time, maybe in another occasion, Kaliya Damanila part 3, we'll finish it that time. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much.